Hello, everyone. Let me pause. Janelle, what are we coaching on?
All right. So I have applied so much of what you've taught me to other areas of my life. I'm just stuck on weight loss. I seem to do, I do my plans faithfully every day. And between 60 and 75%, I execute.
Okay.
Weekends are the toughest, I think, for me, like everybody else. But I think I get stuck in a shame cycle. So I'll lose weight for 2 or 3 weeks and I'll have an overeat. And I'll even write my planner like the day after perfect, like John Acuff, that's an important day. We can do this. But I don't. It's hard for me to get over the overeat. So I just wanted to talk about that and see how I can get started on weight loss again.
Okay. So is it the shame of the overeats or that you're having the overeats? Which one's the problem?
I think it's a shame.
Okay. So you have an overeat and then you immediately go to your plan and you write the day after perfect. This is all right. We're going to make a plan. What happens that day? You don't follow the plan?
Yeah.
And why? Like what's going on? Like, is the plan realistic for that day or is it a plan based in shame and trying to like erase the problem that happened before? What kind of plan is that?
Generally, my plan is realistic. I just get this attitude of, why do you, in my mind, I'm playing, why do you do this? What's wrong with you? Why did you were doing so great and now you've blown it. And it's kind of a fatalist type attitude.
Okay. So when that conversation happens, what do you do then? Rather than just being like, well, fuck, now I'm frustrated that I'm thinking this shit.
Well, I eat.
Why don't you just answer the questions? Your brain is asking you, your brain is saying, please solve these. I'm presenting you with some information. I would like you to tell me with your conscious brain the answers to these. You're letting your unconscious, like I was talking about this morning on the Facebook Live, you're letting the idiot go, yeah, man, you're a fuck up. Let's see. You're just agreeing with the conversation rather than actually answering it. So answer those questions. Tell me those things again. Did you just tell me?
Like what the questions are, what my brain says.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this?
Okay. So tell me, why are you doing it? When you have an overeat, tell me why.
Well, it's a lot of times when I overeat, it just looks good. And so I say, whatever, I can have it.
Okay. So then you can tell yourself in that moment, here's exactly why I overate. I had an excuse. And I haven't learned yet how to overcome it, but that's what I'm doing. Next question, idiot brain, what would you like me to answer?
What's wrong with you? Why can't you get this weight off? You know?
And then this is then rather than eating, because here's the thing, it's asking you a question. It's begging you for a correct answer. It's like saying, give me the answer that's going to take us forward. And you're like, oh my God, I'm thinking shit, I should eat. This is terrible. It's like your brain is working normally and you're eating through it like it's abnormally working.
Okay.
You give me an answer. What would be like an intelligent, conscious brain response to a dumbass question like that from your brain?
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with me.
Okay, that's one good one. How about you're wrong? I know we want to believe it because so many times I've given you a donut every time you've thought this, but I'm just telling you nothing's wrong with us. So we don't need a donut this time.
Okay. Right. True. So in my recovery worksheets, a lot of times I'll put, I had it because it tasted good or
yes,
but so how do I stop having the eat though?
You have to be okay with the fact that that is going to be something like, yeah, things are going to taste good. I'm going to want it. The thing I'm going to think is I want it. Now what? We're never going to stop. I want it. Like, everyone, please hear the words that are coming out of my mouth. All of you are like, well, how do I stop those overeats when I think I want it? It's like, you don't eat and you want it real bad a few times. Because for, how old are you, Janelle?
44.
Ooh, we're same age. How long you want to live?
100.
Okay, so whatever, 44 minus 100, effing count that you're going to want that food from now until then.
Okay.
You will have the thought, I want it. You will have the thought, it tastes so good, looks delicious. All of those things will always happen. The only way to get to where you don't eat them anymore is literally to be okay with that part of it and just add to the end of it. I want it. It looks so good. And I'm learning to not have it just because I want it. So I'm going to sit here and let it be really hard. I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to wish this would go away. None of that's happening. I'm just going to be like, yeah. It says, I like to always use this example. So back in the day when I would go to the grocery store, those, they called them the Hot 24. They were the sugar cookies that were two dozen. They were delicious at Kroger, and they were like never stale. They were always like soft and just so good. All right. It never failed that on Sundays when I'd go to the grocery store, because I always like to go to the grocery store on Sunday morning, they're always baking Hot 24s, like a religion. It's like they, Corinne's coming, get them in the oven. Like, don't miss the opportunity. And it took a long time for me to go to the Kroger and go through there and be like, oh my God, I can remember every time I ate them. I bet they're ever bit as good as they were all the times that I ate them. They smell so delicious. I bet they would be good. But now I'd also say, but we're not putting them in the cart. Like, we're just not taking these home. We're like, I would have this, like, and that happened, I swear to God, for years. Years. The difference was, I used to think if they would just quit baking those cookies, if I just didn't want them, I'd lose weight. If all of that would happen, life would suddenly be fair and it would be easier on me. And then I switched over to, I don't think Kroger is going to know when I'm on a diet and when they're not. So I'm probably going to have to learn how to go to the grocery store and really want it and just tell myself no.
Okay.
And that's what happens. So for you, what I want you to do is, like, when you have an overeat, you've got like a couple things that you need to make sure is happening. Number one, the shame part has to stop first. You're going to have more overeats. I'm going to be the bearer of all the news. This is not the bad news. It's just all the news. You're going to have more of them. They're coming. They're hot and heavy. If I can have them even now, I know in the middle of your journey, you can have them.
Okay.
And I had them all the way. Everybody that loses weight does. The problem is you guys don't want them because you beat yourself up on the backside for them. All right. So now we're going to just stop doing that part. Like, you're literally going to have all those thoughts that we just talked about, and you're going to answer them intelligently.
Okay.
Not with what I like to call it, the idiot part of my brain. It's like, this one back here is just like, they should get a donut. Like, who cares? I mean, it's just like, it's a fool back there. It doesn't care about my hopes, dreams, and aspirations. It just cares about immediate need. That part also doesn't know how to make a decision. This part doesn't. The thinking part does. So when he's back there asking very irrelevant, ridiculous questions, the smarter part of your brain takes over and says, I'll give you an answer. Because that's how you stop the shame cycle, is by actually answering the questions in a non-punitive way.
Okay.
So, like, if you ask yourself, you know, why do you ruin all your progress? And your answer is, because we're an idiot. Like, that's not going to help.
Right.
If you say, why do I ruin all my progress? And you answer with, I didn't ruin all the progress. I'm figuring this out. Overeats are always going to be a part of the process until I learn every skill that I need. Every overeat is supposed to teach me that next skill. Your overeats right now are teaching you how to get out of shame. They're going to keep coming until you quit shaming.
Okay.
That's the way it works, right?
Okay.
And if you don't stop shaming, they'll come more often.
Oh.
Well, think about it. If you're always beating yourself up, and one of the triggers for overeating is beating yourself up, and you just keep doing it, eventually what happens is you give up on your diet. You just overeat all the time until you feel really shitty and start all over again.
Okay.
We don't want to do that either.
No. And I've been here since March of 18. So, and I've had like probably over the past 6 months, it's just been the same 10 pounds, the same 10 pounds. And it's just, I get this momentum and I feel like, oh my gosh, I'm getting it. I'm understanding it. I'm having these successes. And I'll think at night, you know, I want this. No, what you want is sleep, get your butt in bed. And so I go, you know, just go to bed. And then I have an overeat. And then it's just like, oh my God, what, you know, it seems like it's less time than when I started that I can get back on track and back on plan, but it still can be a week. And I'm just like, why are we doing this week of screw it? You know,
because it feels better than what it's going to take to lose the next 10 pounds. That's an easy answer. That week, is it miserable or is it full of food?
It's full of food.
Yeah, it's a party. It's like, woo! Now we can work on that 10 pounds one more time. Let's put it back on. Woo! I mean, it's not surprising why we do it. Your brain remembers like, oh my God, if I beat her up just a little bit, we have a whole week of vacation laying right in front of us.
Okay.
I mean, you're just training your brain to go on vacation. It's like expecting your brain to say, like, I really don't like vacations. Will you please quit taking me to Hawaii? I mean, for fuck's sake. Hawaii is so boring at this point. I would rather lay in the bed getting rest and not responding to urges. That's going to be so much more fun.
Okay.
This is what's really important. You got to understand all that. It's like, just tell yourself, like, I have an overeat. When I lose 10 pounds, this is not me losing my momentum. Like, I just want you to think about it. You do the models?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So your C line is just an overeat. That is all that's happened. Everything else will be your interpretation. If it's, I've lost my momentum, I don't know why this is happening, you know, I might as well just eat some more. That's all thoughts that you're applying to this overeat. You need to decide now when you are like I would get off this call, like literally don't even listen to the rest of them. Get off this call. And I would write, when I overeat, here's the only thoughts I'm allowed to think.
Okay.
And get it on a sticky note. And then the next time you have one, you get the sticky note out and you look at it. And you like say it out loud, then you do your recovery worksheet.
Okay. But
it'll trigger and bring back, oh yeah, I remember Corinne talking about, I'm probably going to want to beat myself up and take myself on a trip to Hawaii. It's like, no, we're not going to Hawaii. The other thing too is really rectifying in your brain that getting right back on plan feels really good.
Right.
Your brain is probably associating right now that, especially if you have blown this up to be a big ass deal of a momentum killer, setting yourself back, you know, oh my God, it's just, you know, torture, cats and dogs living together. Like,
right.
You just say, we just get right back on plan. This is not the end of the world. Your brain isn't thinking, it has to reconstruct the arc in order to start losing weight again.
Okay.
The less of a deal you make that, the easier it is to just get back on plan.
Okay. And I am having those thoughts that it's horrible. And the thing is, physically, I feel much better on plan. I mean, who doesn't? So if I could get my brain to feel much better on plan, you know.
And that is where you have to be conscious. Right now, what's happening is you're not directing your brain. You're not telling your brain, here's what we think about this. Here's what we think about that. Like, here's all the things that have been tripping me up. Here's exactly what we're allowed to think. We're going to practice this. We're preparing ahead of time for it because we know the next overeat's coming. It's always coming.
Okay.
It's coming to 100.
Okay.
But what we want to do is we want to just get to where, like, we have an overeat. We're just like, this is not a, like a derailer. This is not a game over. This is not a statement of, you know, who I am and what my future will be like. This is called, I overate today. What am I doing next? Am I getting some water? Am I going to bed? Am I going to talk nice to myself? Am I going to make up my plan for tomorrow? Am I just going to, like, be a normal person who can hit a speed bump and not run off the road and be like, oh God, wreck the car. You know?
Sounds so ridiculous when you say it.
I try real hard to be ridiculous. I'm just
Well, thank you. I will. I'll go right now and write those things down, what I say next time, what I'm allowed to think.
All right. Well, awesome. Sounds good.
Thank you so much. I love you so much.
Oh, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Let's see. We also now have, oh my God, I love this new system. Okay. So we have some fat girl thinking coming up. Marlene. She's confused about the way she sees herself. Sometimes I think I look good, and then I catch a glimpse in the mirror window, and then I think I look terrible. Is my good mental picture the problem? This should be so good. Marlene, I hope you're ready. I don't know what it is about today, y'all, but I am like on fire today. I feel like I need to be in a Baptist church in the pulpit just going to town. All right. Tell me why it is. Let me just read what you said. Is my good mental picture of myself a problem? Do I need to start looking at myself more realistically? Tell me why you would think that. Why is having a good mental image a problem?
Because I don't want to be thinking I'm at a point in my progress where I'm not. And because I don't want to start getting cocky, like, I'm doing so good and everything's going great, because then when I see it and I'm like, no, you're not where you thought you were.
Yeah, but that's two different things. Like, seriously, what is it? Like, I think I'm amazing all the time. That's how I got here.
Yeah. Like, an example was, I was feeling real good this weekend. I thought, you know what? I've lost some of my weight a little bit, and yeah, I had a cute outfit on, and I was all ready, and I was going shopping with my daughter. We walked into a fitting room. Now, I wasn't trying anything on. She was. And I saw the mirror, and I'm like, oh my God, that's not the same woman who left the house.
It is the same woman. It's the exact same woman, Marlene. You know what the only difference between the one at the house and the one in the fitting room? There's only one difference. One of them's being an asshole to herself, and one of them is not. When you're in the fitting room, what were you thinking? Like, tell me, I was just,
when I saw myself, I thought, you look like you've gained weight, not that you've lost weight. You don't look good in that outfit. What were you thinking when you put that on?
So you think that you should think that more often to get more weight off?
Well, maybe. I mean, I'm just thinking, you know.
Well, did you feel amazing after that?
No, I felt horrible. I wanted to just go home.
So if you just wanted to go home and you were feeling terrible about your body and everything, what are you likely to start doing after that?
Well, I'll probably have a snack and probably will then beat myself up for that. So it'll just be that ongoing cycle of talking bad, trying to get some relief by eating, and then just back and forth. But I guess I struggle with trying to decide, like, I try to think about my future self and who I'm going to be and what I'm going to look like. And sometimes I think I do a pretty good job of convincing myself that I'm close to being her. I could be her.
Yeah.
And then I slide back because I look at him like, that's not the girl I was thinking.
Okay. Then you just have to say, like, you got to decide which version of your truth do you like the most? Which version of your truth is more likely to get you where you want to go? You just got through telling me that if you beat yourself up, you decide to just go on home, and then you're probably going to have a snack to get over that. Does that get you closer to your future self, or does that take you back to where you used to be?
Oh, it definitely takes me backwards. It definitely does.
So let's just go back to the dressing room, all right? And you leave the house and you feel really good about yourself. I'm going to tell you, I'm never going to side with the version of you that says, like, here's the realistic version. The realistic version needs to come out when you're beating yourself up. She doesn't need to drag the good version down into the dumps with her. You're like, man, I need to be more realistic. You, who has all this like confidence and stuff and too cocky, I'm like, be cocky all day. Like, when you're cocky, you know what ends up happening? And like, when you're confident and stuff, you start looking to challenge yourself more, especially when you're throwing shade at yourself. The more you do that, the more that stuff seems foreign. So the realistic version is the version who wants to get places. The realistic version of you is your future self. She's the one who's like, yeah, when you go to the fitting room and you don't like what you see, you stop that bullshit right there. And you tell yourself, you know what I see? Someone working really hard. I see someone who's giving it their all. I see someone who's building her future self. This other shit is called fear. And I can roll with fear while talking nice to myself all day, every day.
It sounds easy when we're talking about it here, but boy, I get into that dressing room and all of a sudden those things start tumbling out of my head.
Yeah, they're supposed to. Why fight them? Why not just renegotiate the conversation? They're not going away. This is just like the last caller. Mm-hmm. The want for stuff, like hot 24 cookies, will always smell good. I go now. I swear to God, I go to Kroger now. They're baking them. I'm like, woo, that smells good. I don't eat it anymore, but I sure remember all the times I did. I still want it. You're going to still want to beat yourself up. I still wake up and don't like what I see most days. I just don't think that I need to like, well, I should probably agree with that shit. I should probably take it down a notch in all my confidence.
So I should just keep talking to myself in the supportive friend way that, you know, yeah, you are working on it and you're looking better now and you will look better next time too.
You got kids?
I do.
I've girls got and boys?
Grandkids. I have 2 girls and 5 grandchildren.
Okay. Let me ask you this. You're out with your girls. Uh-huh. And they're like, you know, Mom, I kind of been thinking, I've been feeling really good about myself, but yeah, you know, it's so funny. Sometimes I just look at myself and think, man, you look like shit. Do you think I should take it down a notch? Do you think I should just do more of that rather than like believing in myself? What would you tell her?
Well, I'd tell them, you know, absolutely not. You're beautiful. You've got all this going for you. You definitely need to be thinking of the best about yourself. So,
yeah. But what if that never stops? What if I always think I look like shit? Should I just give up on that like good stuff and just like be real realistic? Should probably stick with my shitty ones, right?
No, of course not.
Okay, you need to be your mom.
Yeah, you're probably
when
right.
When you do that, I want you to assume that your daughter is saying these words to herself and what you would say to her in that moment. You have that conversation with yourself. Because this is what's funny. You're trying to hang on to your pain because you're afraid you're going to, this is the only reason that it's happening. You're very afraid, probably, that when you reach your goal, that you'll still be disappointed in your body. That you will have done all this work and you'll still be disappointed. Disappointment in your body will always be a choice. It will not be a fact.
Okay.
You're going to get there, and I'm going to tell you, your brain is still going to choose thoughts about things it doesn't like. That is just the way our brains work. Our job, though, is to tell it what we do like more than we allow it to just run on repeat about what it doesn't. Just because it's mouthing in the corner doesn't mean it gets to just like, it's like a TV. Just because the TV's on and running and you don't like what it's saying, then they're like, well, gonna have to leave that TV on. Ain't nothing I can do about that. Like, I think we can just get the remote and hit mute.
You're right. You're definitely right. I just need to maybe focus more on, you know, the positive, what is going right, and quit worrying about so much where I'm not at yet. Because I will get there. I really do believe that. Just, you know, I'd like it to be today instead of, you know, a year from now, but
we all do. And I tell you, the only reason why anytime that you're in a rush to get there is because you're not making today fun.
Well, but Corinne, you got to know, it's not always fun when you do look in the mirror and you're like, I was sure hoping I could rock this, you know, these jeans. And it's like, yeah, no, they're not rocking on here. Go put on the other one. So
you could always say yet.
Yet.
There's That's one word in that sentence that would make all the difference in how that went. It would make that moment more fun. Rather than saying, let's say, I'm not rocking these jeans. I better go put on my fat pants. It's like, no, I'm not rocking these jeans yet. Thank God I got some pants because one day I will. That makes the process fun. You're not in a hurry to get there when you feel like you're trapped in today. Okay. Every moment you got to figure out where your power is. If you're putting your power in a year from now, it's going to be a long, slow grind and it's going to be miserable and you're going to be lucky if you even get there.
You're right. It's amazing how one simple word, adding it into your sentence, into your thinking, can make so much impact on you.
Amen. That's right. I know. It's just, I do this to myself all day. I mean, I think like, I would just love for one day, if there was a way to record every thought that went through this brain all day long, y'all would be like, oh! I mean, it is like.
But it's really great to hear that you still have those thoughts because look what you've done. So.
Yeah. It's because I have those thoughts and then I manipulate them. I'm really good at listening to what I think about. Like, I know, like I'll be like on a walk and I'll notice my face is just like, rrr. Like I'm just in a mood. And I'll ask myself, like, why are you so pissed right now? Like, I'll just be listening to a podcast and my brain will just wander off into the garbage. Just sitting there just eating garbage. Like, yeah. I can't even believe we're there. And I just tell myself, nope, either pay attention to this podcast or work through some bullshit real quick. Do you want to be thinking that? Is it even true? Like, our brains just do that. And that's okay. They're meant to do that. Like, we could not survive in this world if we walked around and we didn't have a brain that always was trying to keep us safe. Our brains are so primitive. Like, we just think because we live in the modern day and age that we should be so elevated. We should be so enlightened. Our brain is still, like, terrified of things. And anything that creates fear for us, it thinks life is in danger. Most of us are afraid of the scale or the jeans not fitting. Like, we're drumming up fear all the time. And it's not real fear. It's imagined fear. But our brain thinks that there's, like, someone with a knife coming at us. That's why it will say, like, go get food. Do anything you can to feel better or you're going to die. And it's like, oh, wait, my pants don't fit. Whoops. You know? Okay. So we're not going to make realistic views of ourselves that are terrible. We're going to keep believing we're amazing. That's realistic. And we're going to be very aware of changing our thoughts. When we don't like what we're thinking about our body, we know that that is optional, that that is not something we have to think.
Yeah, I think I need to spend more time journaling because I've been doing great with my planning and all that stuff, but I don't think I'm getting a lot of my real thoughts out on paper yet. So I think I need to really focus on that.
Yeah, that will make all the difference. I promise you, it will make all the difference in the world. I do it every day. And then if I ever don't, I'm a hot mess that day.
Because sometimes just even whether you're writing them or just saying it out loud, it's like a weight gets lifted off your shoulders. Like, somebody else heard you, they understand, and it feels better.
Well, the neat thing about our brain is that, like, if you write it down, it doesn't know if you talked about it to somebody or if you just wrote it down on paper. It's like, oh, I guess we don't have to think about that no more. Our brains are very funny because they can be easily duped.
Yes. Well, I think that's going to be a part of my daily self-care is the journaling. I think that'll really work for me.
I think that'll be amazing. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Excuse me. All right. Let's see. What else we got? We got some viral ringing. Jane, we got some negative self-talk. I want to hear it. So I want Jane, and then let me get Laura up next, because she wants to talk about how to not let emotions and sadness about her husband and their fights rule her decisions to stay on plan. So I need Jane and Laura. Here, you got to raise your hand. Otherwise, I'm going to call on somebody else. There's Jane. Perfect. Laura, if you're here, you're going to be up next. You need to get your hand raised, or I'm going to go on to the next person. All right. Hello.
I says I'm unmuted.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. I'm the one that said it was 6 o'clock tonight, and I sent that you to support. But anyway,
can I ask you a question real quick?
With sort of, I would call it ruminating. So anytime I have an issue and I can't solve it or whatever, it seems unsolvable, then I just start running, my mind just starts going crazy. Like, what if this, what if that? And I'm researching on the internet, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that, and my mind is just spiraling. And I just want some techniques or what I can do to calm it down and stop that.
Well, why do you ruminate? What are you worried about?
It can be something really simple, like it's not the actual problem, I guess. I think part of it is that I'm making it mean something about myself. Like,
oh, you for sure are.
What if they think I'm stupid, or that I can't solve this, or what if I should be able to solve it, or I don't know. I wrote some notes down here. I was doing some thought work around it, and then I start spiraling into, if I had somebody to, I live alone, if I had somebody to rely on, then I wouldn't have to worry every problem, I have to fix it, and that kind of thing.
So basically what happens is, like, give me a circumstance. Give me a circumstance where recently this happened, where you were faced with...
Well, this one is really simple, and it was, I'm doing a kitchen renovation, and I couldn't get my fridge to move.
Okay, so the fridge won't move.
That's the circumstance. And then my thought was, what if I can't get it move? I'll be in trouble. They won't be able to do it, and all of that. And then
let me stop you real quick. You didn't have a thought the first time. You had a question. So can you have a question in your thought line?
So my thoughts are... will I be in trouble?
Right. That's a question.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to have a question in your thought line.
Okay.
That is your actions. Your action is like spin out in pointless questions. But your thought, like, I want to figure it out. Like, so what if the refrigerator won't move?
That's the irrational part of it.
Yeah. So I need to know what you make that mean.
Yeah, I think I make it mean that I'm stupid or I'm incompetent.
Okay, so then when
or
you
I'm all alone and have to solve this,
I'm all alone. What's wrong with being like all alone?
Every decision, everything that happens, if it's going to get done, I have to do it, and maybe that's exhausting. I don't know.
No, like making all your, like, I live with a man and I make all the decisions.
Well, I like making decisions. I like not having to.
So we know that's not the problem. Do you notice how your brain wants to make it a problem? Like, it's all on me. It's like, hell yeah, it's all on me because I'm like good at it. But that's not your thought. Your thought is it's all on me. Maybe I'm stupid.
Right.
Do you think you're stupid and incompetent? Because those were the two words that came out of your mouth.
No, I don't. I know I'm very competent. And that's what's hard to
get bullshit out from yourself.
Yeah, so that's what I need is, how do I stop that? Like, do I just start calling bullshit? Is that what you said?
Calling bullshit? Big time. Like, you know that spiraling thought. So we're going to just say that your action is I spiral out. So like, if your thought is, I must be stupid. You know, the refrigerator won't move. I must be stupid. It's where we've gone, you know? Your feeling is what? Incompetent?
Yeah.
So then the next thing you know, your action line becomes question myself. Worst case scenario it. Throw out bullshit. Whatever it is. That is what you're doing in that line. Some people will eat through it. But some people will just like spin out in that one action line and just go over and over again. And you know what your result is? I do stupid.
I'm down here all upset.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're all upset, but you do stupid shit to yourself. That ends up being the result. Guess what doesn't happen? The refrigerator doesn't get moved.
Right.
Until you wear yourself out, because this is where the next model comes in. You'll either wear yourself out and go get a snack to figure out the refrigerator moving, right? Or you'll end up tiring yourself out after you've beat yourself up so much, and then you'll finally call someone.
Right, which is what I did.
Yeah, so all I want you to do is skip the spirally part now and go on to solving the problem. Like, say, you know what? I know my tendency is to make a problem a big thing. What if I just have to make a decision and I'm not allowed to do all this? I give myself two options. I can call someone or I can watch one YouTube video on how to unstick a refrigerator by yourself.
Okay, because I'm watching a whole bunch and I can't focus on anything else until I finally, I guess, call somebody. So
yeah, you give yourself, like, you're going to have to go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the good news is I never eat through all of this. I just keep spiraling around.
Yeah, but you're like beating yourself up in the process of solving your own problems. You probably just need to do some work. Like, now you need to do some thought downloads on like how competent I am. Like, do some thought downloads on like, you already, like, this is where I tell people, don't bastardize the model. Don't keep doing thought downloads on the same shit. If you know your problem is I spiral out and I do this to myself, you already know what the unintentional model is. You don't need to do that one anymore. You need to start doing some work on proving to yourself how you handle things from now on without that part of the process. Give yourself some healthy constraints. Like, when I notice I'm spiraling, I have to put the problem away for 30 minutes. Not allowed to research it, not allowed to think about it. I'm not allowed to beat myself up over it. I can come back with a fresh mind. That's the only way I'm allowed to solve a problem. Like, you start talking to yourself about, like, if I really believed in myself, if I thought that I could totally solve anything on my own, here are the things I would be thinking and believing about myself all the time. And you need to do some of that. Like, I would do like 30 days worth of that. Like, we're starting self-love this month. This might be a good month for you to kind of like get some of that work done, but like really thinking about how much work am I doing on myself, proving that I'm competent and proving all this stuff versus just letting it just run like a cycle.
Okay. That's a good action. 'Cause you're right. I was just modeling, but going around in a circle.
Yeah. What was your intentional thought? So like when the refrigerator doesn't move, what would your intentional thought been?
They'll figure this out and be willing to help me.
Okay, that's fine. But that's you relying on someone. That's probably why your brain, it was like, yeah, but you got to rely on someone else. Like at the core of all of this is your belief, and it's all on me. And you, right now you're making it's all on me mean this is not a good thing rather than it's all on me. Thank God it is, because I'm good at it. And that is where the root of this problem lies.
That's good, because what is difficult for me to understand in this is that I bought a condo in a weekend. I can go and buy a car like that. You know, it seems if I can't solve the problem, that's where I spiral. But I don't have trouble making some major decisions.
Have you ever had a problem you've never solved? Like it's been lingering for, you know, 50 years now?
Probably I let it go if I did.
So you've always been able to solve a problem. Quit telling yourself there's problems out there you can't solve. That will help everything. If it's a problem I can't solve, it's like, no, there are problems that are going to always have a solution. Sometimes they just take a little longer to get to. Doesn't mean it's not solved.
Yeah, it's very helpful. Every time you reframe things, and I'll definitely listen to this call again and write it down, what all that you said. And I think that'll just make me so much calmer in those moments.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Whenever you work on your core beliefs about yourself, this is for all of you. When you start identifying some of the core beliefs you have and you start creating the new core beliefs, you start writing about them every day and what you want to believe about you and all this other stuff, whoo, it makes life so much easier. It will calm you down in those moments. You'll start seeing yourself gain authority over your, you'll still want to spiral out in some thoughts, but it'll start running up against the new identity you've adopted. Like you'll see yourself spiraling out and you've like wrote for 30 days about how you believe in your own ability to believe, like solve things and all this other stuff. And then when you catch yourself spiraling out, you'll be like, why am I even doing this? It's just like, for me, like my like identity is someone who just gets shit done. Like I just know I can get shit done and I can make decisions like that. Whenever I catch myself procrastinating or thinking I can't do something, it sticks out like a sore thumb now. It's like, what are we even doing? This is not who we are. And I redirect and I'll make plans and then go. You just got to come up with that new identity and massage it a lot.
Yeah, that's good. And I think it does fit in with this self-care for the month of May. So that's great.
Yeah.
And before I go, thank you. And I can't believe your passion for what you do. And I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much. I love it. Trust me. I do it till I'm hoarse.
Well, you do. And it doesn't seem like just a business to you. It's like, you care about every person, and we really appreciate it. I really appreciate it.
I really do. I'm glad it comes across that way, because it's not just a business. It's almost overwhelming sometimes.
Thank you so much for your help today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye. Okay, let's see who's next. Laura, if you're here, you're next. Or Laura. Might be Laura. Laura Sign. I need you guys to have easier names. All right. I don't know if she's here. So let me go on. So we have backups. This is awesome. Let's see. Shanna, overeating. How not to use food for anxiety, loneliness, and stress. How to break the habit of eating just to eat. Are you here, Shanna? And if not, Jamie Wise, using food to distract myself, my thoughts and feelings regarding my son who is struggling with addiction and may need my need for control and my enabling him. If any of you are here, you're up next. And we also have Christy Stewart. Whoever raises her hand first will get it. Megan, the Fuckets. And Angie Johnson, not hungry, eat, then hungry, can't stop. Also accepting I'm not looking as in shape and tone as I did a couple of years ago. If any of you are here, raise your hand. Girls, I'm going to be like an angry mommy if people are signing up and not showing up. Okay. If you want coaching, raise your hand. I'm just going to take someone. We have 10 more minutes. Yana, you're up. You're fast. Hey, Betsy, do me a favor. All the people that said they would be on this call, make sure you let them know that they got called and they weren't here. So they missed out. I just want people to understand that if they actually say they're going to want coaching, I will call on them. All right, Yana. Is it Yana or Yana? Probably Yana. And I'm saying it like a redneck.
Yeah, it's Yana.
Yeah, I figured I was saying it like a redneck. All right. I like to call everybody by their redneck name and not their real name. What are we coaching on?
Anxiety around work and business and overeating in the evening. So essentially what happens is I am having a hard time to finish my day and think good about myself and my ability to start the next day fresh. And in order to think about, okay, this is what happened, I can do better tomorrow, or it doesn't mean anything bad. It's just, you know, this thought. And if like somebody unsubscribed or somebody asked for a refund, it's not the end of the world. And my success is not going away. And well, depending, but you get the variation of that. So in order to process this, I need wine and cheese. Otherwise, and so what I'm telling myself, if I have to choose between me calming down and unwinding and starting the next day fresh, I need the wine now or I'm going to be anxious whole night. And
is that true?
Yeah.
How do you know you're going to be anxious all night? You can't tell me it's because that's what's happened in the past.
Because if I just sit with an emotion and don't eat or drink, I really get scared. And I go into places like I'm just lucky and my success is just a coincidence and it's all going away. It's not going to last.
Okay. So let me ask you this. When those sentences start happening, those sentences, not the facts, what do you do then? Do you just be like, I guess that's some truth?
Yes. I feel that my stomach cringes and I feel that it's... What if it's true?
Okay. So and do you ever answer the question? Or do you just keep like saying, you know what? My stomach's cringing. I'm starting to get short of breath. I got all these sentences running through my head. Let's keep on. More sentences, please. Or do you change the conversation?
Sometimes, yes. So I've been following the program since January and... Awesome. What helps sometimes is if I started journaling and what I write is, let's say, I imagine I have achieved my goal, or I have something that I want. And today is like this day, and my weight is, well, 57 kilos, and, or like my business has reached this and this milestone, and I feel light, confident. And sometimes I can get there and mm-hmm. it feels good, and I can just reread it and it helps.
Okay.
But sometimes it doesn't help.
Okay.
Well, so I just don't believe it.
That's fine. Don't have to every single time. There's no reason to stop. There's no reason to eat wine and cheese because you don't believe it. Right?
Oh.
Oh.
Conceptually, yes. But
tell me, like, anxiety, what does it look like for you? So when do you do this wine and cheese? I'm assuming at night, not during the day, or you wouldn't be a successful business person.
Yes.
It's not like lunchtime wine and cheese, is it? At night. All right. So we're at night and anxiety settles. Here it is.
Okay.
Tell me what that's like. Like, tell me what it's actually like. So I know you say, like, you start questioning, like, am I going to be able to, like, you start questioning your success?
Yes. So, for example, yesterday it was, I am negotiating with a client, and I kind of like them, and I would like them to say yes, but they don't quite agree on the terms that I propose, and they try to impose some conditions.
Yeah.
And I run around and I say, so for example, one thought would be, I just say, have to say no to them. It doesn't look good. It feels difficult. It feels heavy. I shouldn't take them just for the money. And then another thought, but no, this is a good company. They have very good reviews. People like them. They have happy employees. It would be very good portfolio client. I should just be patient. I should explain the benefits and all of that.
So tell me what the problem is, because so far your brain's working right on par and normal. This is exactly what's supposed to happen.
Yeah, but then I suppose some this reptilian part of my brain says, but if you just have a glass of wine, you get to a place where it doesn't matter. Everything is going to be fine. You'll figure this out tomorrow. Just relax, have a glass of wine, and you don't need to go through this fire.
Okay, so you're not having anxiety at all. You're having a bullshit party. There's a big difference between sitting around with anxiety and like sweating and can't breathe and panicking and thinking you're going to die and being like, you know, wine and cheese would really help make this decision a lot easier. We should just unwind for the night. Are we having anxiety, or we just don't like thinking?
Well, yeah, probably you're right. It's not an anxiety.
Yeah, I'm thinking at night we have more of a bullshit party.
True.
Like, it's, I want you to, like, but this is important. Because if you're labeling it, I'm having anxiety, it feels like it needs a really big fix. It's a heavy topic.
Yes. Because it's been like, I know you say that, like, don't justify it by saying it's been a long time. Yeah, that's why it kind of feels that it's a problem.
What if we just were like, I have thoughts at night. Wine and cheese always makes it better. This is what we're really dealing with here. This is not anxiety. Like, you have a thought. I'm having anxiety at night. Like, your whole story, like, so far, I don't even have a fact yet to even grab other than you eat wine and cheese. But you have a really big story around why you're eating wine and cheese. And it's no wonder you eat it every night. It's like, if it's a big complicated affair to unravel, then you can keep having wine and cheese. What is it going to be like when you have thoughts about clients, like me every night? Oh my God, we got like this coming up and this coming up, and the team needs all of this, and I'm supposed to be going live, and blah, blah, blah. oh, well, it'll be really good for the tribe if I do this. The team can wait, blah, 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 blah. Like, that's a normal conversation in the brain. What if you just decided that's probably what happens every single night? Now what am I gonna think about it? Am I gonna think this is intolerable and anxious? Or am I just gonna be like, you know what's gonna be causing anxiety? When I don't drink wine and cheese.
And is there like a limit? Like, okay, so what if it doesn't stop? Like, what if it doesn't?
What if you think it all the way to bed? Like, what time does it start? Like 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock?
It's about 8.
Oh, 8 o'clock. So like, when do you go to bed?
10:30.
So like 2.5 hours.
Well, sometimes something happens earlier and I just think, okay, I'll think about it later. I'll just finish the day. I know it will come back and I'll think about it after 8. Yeah.
Okay. So 2.5 hours. Can you do that and lose weight?
Without wine and cheese, for sure, because yeah. that's the only off plan thing.
Yeah, you're gonna have to stop doing that. And there's not an easy button. What you're looking for, I'm just gonna like give you the big shocker, Krim. What's that magic thought that takes all the pain away? Where like I'm gonna just sit and be happy and not have wine and cheese. Like I would love to skip the part where it's really uncomfortable. You got a thought? No, I don't. No one does. I'm going to tell you, I woke up this morning at 5 a.m. and I wanted to have wine tonight. 5 a.m. So you get like 2.5 hours. I get 16 straight hours of thinking about it right in front of me. There's just some, yeah, it's like, okay, I got to settle in. That is what I'm inviting you to do, is settle in. And rather than making this a complicated process and mean a lot of things, and I'm having anxiety and all these things are happening, it's just like, no, I'm like everyone else. Sometimes I have a lot of sentences running in my brain and I want to eat wine and cheese to stop the sentences. The difference between me and you is you're believing your sentences as if they're a problem rather than watching your thoughts at night. So when 8 o'clock rolls, and you want to have wine and cheese, rather than believing that you need to have it, you need to be like, and I'm probably going to sit here and think, I just want to see what all these things I'm thinking are. Oh, I'm thinking it will be better. I'm thinking I'll make better decisions later. I think it'll get me closer. I'm always fresher in the morning. I want you to see that you're never solving the problem. You're always doing it in the morning. Because when you said like wine and cheese, I'll wake up tomorrow and I'll figure it out. What if we just say, you know what? I'm not going to think about it. And when the sentences come in, I'm not going to think about it because I always solve it in the morning. Today, I'm just going to not think about it without wine and cheese. And you will have to read it, like, it'll probably, like, but let me see, between 8 and 10:30, it will only take 2,343 redirects to do it. And after 2 weeks, it'll take about 3. Maybe. It's just like me thinking about wine first thing this morning. Every time something goes wrong today, I think, I should just tell Chris we should go out for drinks tonight. I'm not even going to be here. Like, here's my golden excuse. I'm not even going to be here this weekend. We don't get date night this week. I'm at my mastermind this weekend. Good reason. And then I remind myself, nope.
Okay, so would I put then wine and cheese on the plan still?
I wouldn't. I know you hate me, but I wouldn't do it. You know why? You know it's a problem. You know why you're doing it. And if you put it on your plan, you're going to be having it every single night to unwind and to not think and to avoid doing the work you need to be doing, which is you have got to be like, okay, when I plan wine and cheese, it is to enjoy it. I'm not planning wine and cheese to avoid my life anymore. And you're avoiding decision-making. You're avoiding taking the next step into the person you need to be, which is the person who says, you know what? I make great decisions in the morning. I need to quit telling myself that I have to run from decisions at night. I need to just tell myself, there's no reason why we can't relax without wine and cheese tonight. We don't even have to think about this stuff because tomorrow's the day we make the decision anyway.
I like this thought. I like the idea that I actually never solve any problem in the evening. Thank you.
You're welcome. You can do this. Sometimes I make people, when you're like locked in on your realistic plan for other things, that's one thing. But in this one, you're ready to evolve. You're just ready for your next level. I want you like really enjoying your life and proving to yourself you can do this. It's not a big deal. And you're like literally one little thought away from all of it.
Okay, it's 8 o'clock.
Where are you at?
I'm in Switzerland.
Oh my God, you know how I love all you internationals. I'm so redneck. I just think anybody outside the United States is exotic. I'm serious. My son was, he was actually Marco Polo and somebody in Facebook or in the group. And he was talking last night about Switzerland. I heard him talking about it. He was talking about Switzerland. He was talking about Sweden. He was talking about all the countries. So, all right. You have until 10:30 to tell yourself how strong you are and that decisions will be made tomorrow morning. And now you get to just relax.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, everyone. We are at the 1 o'clock. So we got everyone. Let's see. If you were signed up for a call and you weren't here and you're listening to the replay, guys, we have a new system. So let me just explain a little bit about it so that you guys know going forward what's going to happen is y'all are applying for all of your calls. And then I have on my screen all the people who signed up for all the different things. And I'm trying to do some topical stuff. So make sure you're here because I will call on you. I'm going to try to get through more people in the hour, and it's a lot easier when we're kind of on a roll. So just make sure you're here if you signed up for a call. And then if you're not guaranteed a spot, then you're a backup. So if you're a backup, you're probably going to get called on because I'm going to be rocking and rolling. So that's it for today. Y'all have a good one, and I will see you. When I'll see you. Tomorrow morning, 7:30, Q&A, Facebook Live. See you then. Bye, y'all.